Peter Williams, welcome and thank you for coming to Earbones. And just snuggle right up to that microphone a little bit there. And good evening. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
So it's a little bit traumatic. So we're gonna send you away, and then we're gonna reconnect with you a little bit. But right now, the waves have hit. The oceans are bad, and
man overboard, castaway, throw the life ring. It missed. There he goes.
Help me. Help me.
Peter?
Yeah.
You're on a deserted island. You can have 10 songs to last you the rest of your days, or maybe next week if you're in a shipping lane and you get rescued, but you got to be prepared for the long haul. And so we've asked you to select 10 songs that you would take with you for what might be the rest of your life. And you have spent this last week combing through the music that you have known and loved through your whole life. And we're gonna play those songs, and we're going to post those songs on the website when we're all done. We've also asked you to bring a dessert, a favorite dessert, because it is, after all,
a deserted island.
And so we're gonna get to the music here in just a little bit. But let's just start off with, I think many folks know who you are here in Sitka, many folks around Southeast Alaska, but many don't. And so let's just start off with a brief summary of who you are. Where'd you grow up? Where were you born? What do you do? Let's just start with that.
Okay. My name is Peter Williams. I was born in Bethel, Alaska. I'm half Yupik Eskimo and half European blend. My Eskimo family is from Akyak, which is a little upriver of Bethel. I moved to Sitka when I was a few months old. My grandfather and grandmother, Frank and Ruth Roth. My mother is Christy Williams. Her maiden name is Christy Roth. And they've been in the community for quite some time. And I was raised in Sitka. What I do for a living is I hunt and sew with sea otter, and I sell the crafts that I make.
Have you been in Sitka the entire time since you were a few months old, or have you traveled away and come back?
I've traveled a bit, a lot when I was younger, in youth groups, family vacations, and then I spent some time in Portland, Oregon. In my mid-20s.
Okay, some time for a few months or a few years. What kind of a time away are we talking
about? It was a little over 2 years.
A little over 2 years. All right, so you got to know the community of Portland pretty well. And what do you think of the TV show Portlandia? Is that some sort of an accurate depiction, or do you not like it at all?
I think so. When I saw one of the first episodes, I was talking to a buddy of mine who also grew up in Sitka. There's a good amount of like Sitka representation in Portland, and there was a stronger one a few years ago. And it was the episode where they're saying, like, put a bird on it.
Yes.
You know, look at this, put a bird on it. And I was talking to my buddy about that, and he's like, I remember having that exact same conversation years ago in a coffee shop with me, and he's like, I swear someone was listening to us and wrote that down.
So they nailed it.
Yeah,
they nailed it.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a little deviation there. If Sitka were to have a program made about it, what would be the analogy there of put a bird on it? What does Sitka just kind of do? If you were having coffee, we don't have coffee at the moment, but chatting.
I think put a bird on it. Put the lovebirds on it. Put a raven and an eagle on it.
Right. And these days, I've got to say, we had a flyby of a couple of eagles that were certainly, well, it seemed like they were flirting, but they could have been in a tussle. But it seemed
it looked
a
like they were having fun.
Yeah, it did.
Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here, here. But we shouldn't get into that, should we, Rachel? So the time mostly here in Sitka, and you're a furrier.
I am.
You also have you're also an artist of other mediums. I know of one other medium, and it so happens that you're my mom's favorite artist. And she
I'm very flattered.
She discovered you entirely independently from me. She lives in Idaho and has visited once a year for almost 20 years. But she asked me about you one day and said that she had discovered some of your artwork online. She'd heard about you on Raven Radio, something on the website, I think, and then she went online and looked. So you've got another artistic element. Describe that a little bit.
I do. I've been drawing and painting since I was a kid, and something that I did as entertainment and something that a lot of kids do. And it served as a form of expression, and in my teenage years it was really there for served the purpose of therapy. And then I just started to get into it more and more. And I tried to kind of have a career out of drawing and painting, but for various reasons, it didn't really seem to be in the cards for me. Mm-hmm. And moved over to working with fur, which is, I think it's so much easier to be commercial with that. One thing is, with what I consider kind of my art, like my drawing and my painting, it's very personal. And it's putting a piece of my soul up for people to look at, and it's completely their right to examine it, analyze it, like it or not like it, and comment on it. But that's often hard to do, or to kind of witness and to promote. And it's also hard to commercialize that. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like sell a piece of your soul. If someone likes it, you want to kind of just give it away. And then it's also hard for, I think, people to connect with my message, what I'm trying to do, which is something with like working with fur. Someone looks at, oh, that's a fur hat. Yeah, that's nice. It's well put together. The craftsmanship's good. I like the use of colors.
It will keep my head warm.
It will keep my head warm. It feels really, oh, that's sea otter fur. Oh, that feels great. Mm-hmm. They got it. Instead of like this really in-depth ink drawing that I spent like a month working on to try to show my battles of alcoholism with, which like, not everyone's really going to kind of immediately get that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so many of your drawings have titles that, that kind of hint, I think, at what that month-long process really was about. I think my mom has a piece that that involves hands and a bird
yeah.
and the bird coming out. I don't remember the title. Maybe you do.
Something along the lines of to keep my hands warm. Something along those lines. I don't know if that was the exact phrasing. And it was like, I think that was about an inch and a half by an inch and a half piece.
Very, very, very small.
She has it framed and it looks beautiful.
Right on. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit more about that process with the art and with the furs. But we have some music to play. So let's shift over. And I want to ask you if you enjoyed the process of selecting these songs, or if it was more of a struggle, easy or hard?
I really enjoyed it. I was really tickled to be presented with the task, and pretty much immediately started to think of songs and started to actually like play them together to see how they would sound. That was, I think, one of the challenges, is to try to get things that I feel that could flow together. Like if I had to pick top 10 songs, they probably wouldn't be these, but as like building kind of a soundtrack to being on a deserted island, this is what I came up with, and I really enjoyed that process. And as well as the fact that for me, music has a lot to do with soothing, and soothing myself when I do feel isolated, which is an interesting thing that I kind of rediscovered as I was making this list, and what these songs mean to me and the feelings that they invoke.
As you were imagining the island, were you imagining an island that you would find out in Sitka Sound with trees and maybe gravel beach, or a tropical island? You can choose whatever island you want.
It was actually a mixture of both. Like I would go back and forth, and then also I'd often think about metaphorical island.
Nice.
Tell us about your first song.
The first song, I'm not sure if I can pronounce, Signet.
I have the same issue. Committee. I'm not sure if I can pronounce it.
So I Googled it, and it means young swan. So it translates Young Swan Committee by David Bowie. And there's something about David Bowie's insanity that makes a lot of sense to me.
Thank you. And that that tune is reminding me, I must say, just because it's a swan and I know it's different, but geese. Just yesterday, I saw 12 geese flying north just out over the water between me and Mount Edgecombe, and the sun was setting, and I could just barely hear them. And they're the first geese that I've seen coming north. And interestingly enough, I've heard 4 or 5 songs about spring on Raven Radio over the last week, and people willing and yearning for spring, and yet it continues to be snowy and icy, and yet spring, I think, is upon us, and the geese are actually my sign of that. And so I'm just thinking about our seasons as we play this song as well.
New. And thoughts of the best of men. But ours, we used him, we let him use his power. We let him fill our needs, now we are strong. And the road is coming to its end. Now the damned have no time to make amends. No purse of token fortune stands in our way. The silent guns of love will blast the sky. We broke the ruptured structure built of age. Our weapons were the tongues of a crying rage. Where money stood, we planted seeds of rebirth. And stabbed the backs of fathers, sons of dirt. You could hear, love is all we need. Kick out the jam. came to pray, some came to keep the dark.
very happy, very upbeat song there. Who is that, and why did you choose that song?
Let's see if I pronounce her name right. Melaine?
Melanie.
So it's also kind of like funny about this with artists. Just from this time period, I listened to the local rock station when I was a kid in middle school. And it's often what I would do when I'd go home. I was raised by a single mom, and she was out busy working. So one of the things that I would do for company is I would listen to rock and roll. And they wouldn't announce what the names of the song were or the artists. So I spent a lot of my life like really loving this music and having no idea who the artist was. And then later in life, it's like, wait, I like Twisted Sister. That song, there's something just really powerful I find with the 60s and the music and with that that harmony. And it's kind of interesting with a lot of the music I chose. I feel like it can almost be kind of the same song. But maybe that argument can be made in general. But there's something that I really like, high pitches. And this is just kind of like a something I relate to in my existence of this current life experience. I mean, this one being my life now. And now as like, as Peter, I don't know. I believe that I've been in others as well, but, yeah, high pitches. There's something there. There's a sadness and a joy and also kind of like, an eeriness all at the same time, which I find to be very much life.
What are some of the high pitches in our Southeast world that you connect with or resonate with you?
So the bird sounds, I wish I would have known my birds better. There's a call that's happening right around now. It's like summertime in the evening. I forget what the bird is. But very beautiful.
Can you make the bird noise?
I wish I could. I can do a raven, but.
Yeah. I learned from Encounters, Richard Nelson's radio program, that a Swainson's thrush happens in the spring.
I think that might
and
be
that
it.
And that one goes up and down and. Mm-hmm. That one may be it. That's right. A sure sign of
that
spring.
That kind of sounded
me.
Like a banjo, though.
Okay, I'll stop. The island that you're on, and you've got these 10 songs. Do you imagine that you would be listening to the music constantly, or on special occasions, all at once, or one at a time?
Fairly constant. Part of the choice of these songs is probably like some of these songs I just listen to over and over again in themselves, but I also really enjoy albums. Just something that I think is fairly hard to find is like a really well-produced and well-put-together album, that the album's the piece of work. And I think with the commercialization of art, I think part of one of the problems in the music industry is that you choose a few songs that you try to have a hit instead of like trying to produce like a whole album, something that's complete in and of itself.
And you mentioned that your list is an album in and of itself. You've tried to create something that has cohesion as the list.
Right.
Do you dance?
I do.
How do you dance?
Like a crazy Eskimo. It was one of the. It might have been the 2004 Stardust Ball, and they were doing a cover of the Pixies' "Where Is My Mind" song,
right.
And I was doing my crazy Eskimo dance like through like, you know, all around, and this tall cowboy looking dude who, you know, wasn't from Sitka stopped me. He's like, "That's one of the best buffalo dances I've ever seen."
we should have disclosure here on the kcaw.org over the last several days, and actually put out on Facebook too. We posted a picture of one of the lip sync acts that night, which was The Village People, which I believe won
first
place.
It did.
I think it was second.
Was it really?
Yeah.
A travesty.
remember it, but you may be right. Yeah.
But you remember it as number one. That's what's important.
That's true. Yeah. That's true for me. Although now number one of 2004 will undoubtedly bump into me. But you were in that. You were in that photo. Yes. You were in that act. Yes. And if I remember right, too, that was the kind of a last minute entry. Summarize a little bit about that whole event.
Well, a bunch of local characters, we got together and decided to do the Village People. Kevin Griffin, Jamal Float, Alan Porter, Brian, and Hannah. We just, kind of last minute, and we came up with the routine like right before we walked down there, pretty much.
And then nailed it. Mm-hmm. And then nailed it. I mean, the costumes were great.
Oh yeah,
And the routine was great. Mm-hmm. And it was that a fun night?
It was. Yeah, it was one of the funnest that I've had.
I just wanted to say one of my memories from your lip sync was unfortunately there was a skip in the CD. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
I remember that. Yeah, and we winged it.
And you guys like as a group just immediately went with the skip. And you all kind of started doing this jerky, oh gosh, it was so funny. And I don't know, that may have clinched it for you, or maybe you would have gotten the prize anyway, but I thought that was so perfect. It was really, really cool.
Well, from dancing to Stardust to the next song from the Submarines, it's called 1940. Tell us a bit about this tune.
It's something that I recently discovered, and I don't know what else to say, but there's something about it that really resonates with me and kind of the frequency that I'm on right now, and I think frequencies that I've been on before.
You up in bed last night, but while curious. say every kid that needs some help. And I can't begin to think of anything that could help. But the w- is guaranteed indeed just what I need. How I feel upon a time so recent, a time made me sad. When I recollect how it used to be, like David and Goliath, kinda like me and the devil, trying to rip out my soul, trying to catch a on sleep. No, no, you can try again and I'll be ready. Won't let you get me in my dream like Freddy Krueger. No, I'm not no loser, I'll see you in hell. At the end of the day, day, my mama told me, don't let no one break me, let no one break me. At the end of the day, day, nobody, nobody ever could stop me, ever could stop me. At the end of the day, day, you can't regret it if you were trying, if you were trying. At the end of the day, day, I'm walking with a heart of a lion. Yeah. Please save a kid that needs some help. And I can't see ahead of me, so I'm moving stealth. Hide and seek within a dream, I seem to glide above my horror. Though I feel I'll never be complete inside the dark I borrow. To proceed and remain intact, my mental is so unstable. When they talk and judge a man, they have no clue what I'm capable. Till I show inside of me, no one that thought could be within. I told ya, no, I'm not a loser, I see you in hell.
So we just heard from Kid Cudi with Heart of a Lion. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that song and how that made it to your list.
A lot of songs that I really like to be also comforting and inspirational, and ones kind of let you know that everything's okay and to keep on keeping on. I didn't have an ear for hip hop for quite a while, and with Kid Cudi, a lot of the sounds he uses and a little more electronica and kind of some psychedelic stuff, I think responded a bit to more of the taste that I have. But I've also changed recently, and continue to change. And I think there's also something about the entrepreneurial spirit of hip hop that resonates with me in my life now as I try to help develop the Seattle Fur industry, which is this new industry, and as I grow my business. Mm-hmm. I think there's some things with kind of within hip hop, it seems like a lot of the themes are talking about that being kind of entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about you as a furrier. Mm-hmm. Describe how hunting and affects your life, or how your life affects hunting. And mm-hmm. and I want to ask you that, and then I'm going to ask you about how hunting affects the art that you make. Mm-hmm. And so they may be very similar, but compare and contrast hunting with you and mm-hmm. with your art.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, and it continues to grow. I really try to look at it as a spiritual journey. And it's really helped me a lot with my identity and finding my place in the universe. And the more I get to know it, the more the universe unfolds in front of me. I think I have an interesting relationship with hunting. There's times where, like, I'm in the flow of killing, and then there's times where I don't feel it. It's usually always on my mind. I've got serious cracks in my boat that I need to repair right now, so I'm not out hunting. But I would really like to be in with the amount of marine mammals that are moving in for the herring right now. I hope to get my boat repaired soon so I can go and hunt when there's high densities of marine mammals in town. I've noticed it's changed me in various ways, way I perceive the world, way people perceive me. Even on aspects of, like, when I was really starting, I think, to increase the amount of animals that I was getting, I would be like driving around in a car in the passenger seat, and I just kind of like look at someone who's walking by. And, you know, I think we've all had those experiences where we turn around and someone's looking at us. And it's just an evolutionary defense mechanism where there's something where we notice eyes on us and we look around. And I noticed people would respond to me quicker or would turn around me a lot more when I was really developing my hunting, which I think is interesting as I has been growing as a predator, even like in subconscious ways that is affecting me and those around me.
A focus, wow, maybe that you project,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to try to put words to it.
Right. Without trying to make it sound like I'm looking at people like I'm going to kill them.
Right, exactly.
Of course.
So then, that's not the message I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. otters and deer?
I've gone deer hunting a few times, and I've yet to harvest a first deer. It's something that I think about, and I try to balance out time-wise efficiency and economics, where I eat the back strap out of the sea otters I harvest, and I eat seal meat. And so if I want meat, I have it pretty readily available for me when I'm hunting. And it's also what I do for a living. And it's what I know how to do. Like, I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with marine mammal hunting. And I don't feel too comfortable with deer hunting. I haven't spent a fair amount of time going doing it. Mm-hmm. Also the regulations, like, I don't have to go buy licenses to go sea otter hunting. I have to do that for deer. There's seasons mm-hmm. for deer. There's not a seasons for marine mammals for me. The methods of hunting is very different. The way that I can hunt marine mammals is a much easier way than I can with the regulations with deer hunting.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn to hunt marine mammals?
Oh, with a buddy, we would just kind of cruise around in a boat and trail by air. And then met Wade Marty Martin out on the water, and he showed me a lot. Get advice from people and then go experiment. A lot of things that I found to help me was adding these rituals that I kind of came across just from some education that I had culturally as a kid, but talking to the animals and giving the animal a last drink of water, letting the animal know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Even the night before, just visioning my spirit and their spirit connecting, that has really helped me. Those customs and rituals have really helped my development and success as a hunter. And when I do those rituals, when I'm talking to that animal, when I'm asking that animal to give its life, the amount of success that I have, like in my accuracy of shooting, just is so much higher than when I don't do those rituals.
What were the traditional methods of hunting? I'm imagining projectiles of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Have you studied that much? Is that of interest to you?
A little bit. The Aleuts were tremendous sea otter hunters and were enslaved by the Russians due to that, that they were better sea otter hunters than them. And they used atlatls from their kayaks, so this a throwing board with their spear. Very so, they're like spears and harpoons used for other marine mammals. I'm reading a book right now on Yupik rites and rituals and oral tradition, and it is really interesting, this chapter, this idea of clearing a path between the hunter and the animal, and that being really important. Even a literal path, when the snow comes, they clear this path, the snow path in front of their house. The idea, like making room for the animal world and the human world to connect and interact. And I was reading like all these customs that they had for seal hunting, from like what you do when you meet a hunter on the ice, what parts of the animal you give them to, depending on the time of year, what the women would do and wouldn't do in the village while their husband or their family members were out hunting. There would be things that they would not work on. There'd be things that they would not say. There's age limits on women who would work with certain animals. This is really amazing. I want to read that chapter again, but because there's so much ritual and custom in there, and I think that's interesting compared to this culture that we live to today in America, where we don't really think that. But in the past, like these customs and all these thoughts and all this care for this substance and this living being. I think when you have such care for our resources, quote unquote resources, that really, I think, limits the amount of abuse of those quote unquote resources.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about the furrier, the art of creation from fur, and we'll get to that. We've got some time. It's time for the next song in the list on your island, and so I am imagining that this next song is called "When I'm Small," and that how does that fit in with what we're talking about and with you and what is this song all about?
I'm not entirely sure what this song is all about. Actually, it's a pretty interesting song. One of the songs too, I think, chosen in here. It seems like the sounds often a little juxtaposed to what the lyrics are being said. There's some things that are like the song sounds just really happy and joyful, but some of the lyrics are very sad.
I'm going to step in. It's kind of on the edge of thinking or asking, as we've talked about the concept of hunting, and that there's a joy, but there's also a sorrow. I mean, there's a life and there's a death, but,
right.
And that's what we're all surrounded by. And some people are very concerned about hunting and would prefer that it didn't happen at all. And others live through and by hunting and have forever. And those worlds coexist, as you kind of talked about right then. And so that's just an interesting thing to mention, is that there's both worlds. Do you encounter people that say that they don't like hunting?
I do. I think that because it's me, and given the context, because I'm there, I think that they would probably phrase it different if I wasn't present. But I also think that they pick up on what it means to me, and that I recognize there is a loss. there was I was visiting a friend at Democracy Now! In New York City a few months ago, and he's giving me a tour. And I was checking the tour, and we met this guy who works there, and I was wearing my SEAL vest, SEAL on the front and sea otter on the back. And he was like asking me, so what do you do? I'm like, well, I hunt sea otters and I sew with them for a living. And I could you'd see it in his face and his body language that he was very uncomfortable with that. And I was trying to let him know. I just explained that Alaska Natives are exempt from the Marine Mammal Protection Act to continue our customs and our traditions that we have for thousands of years. And kind of, oh. So a lot of the people that I interact with are also could be classified as fairly liberal. And I think that so they kind of associate it with Native rights. I think that they have a bit of a different viewpoint on it, which is interesting. That he wasn't too interested in feeling my sea otter vest, although I offered. And I wanted to engage him more. I wanted him to feel more comfortable with it and to understand like what I was doing. But he didn't really seem like he wanted to, and that's okay.
The song is from Fantagram, and it's called When I'm Small.
Yeah. It's up to you to be a superhero. It's up to you to be like nobody.
Like nobody.
And you ain't got nothing but time.
Well, I would say that for me anyway, that's a song that you can really get lost in a good way.
Indeed.
That was beautiful. Who was that?
That was Cat Power singing Nothing But Time.
That sounds appropriate for being on a deserted island.
Very much so. Yeah, it's such a beautiful song.
You mentioned growing up that you listened to a lot of rock and roll radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Twisted Sister, among others, I'm sure. Yeah. And none of that is really on your list.
Right.
Not to give away some of the final songs of what might or might not be there, but none of that is really there. So your music education has been more or less recent in your life. Is that true?
Remember listening to David Bowie's Space Oddity as a kid on the radio and just blown away.
I'm saying that's rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I would say.
The list started off with David Bowie.
Yeah. And it was funny as it just was like, who is that? How can I get more of that?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had no idea because the people playing the music just figured everyone else already knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've listened to various things. There's a lot of stuff from the 60s and 70s in middle school. my stepfather, Stan Schoening, does a radio show here, and a lot of Elton John and John Lennon and Beatles and The Doors, Bob Dylan records. And so I listened to those. Got into punk rock later on, and then in early 20s kind of got into emo. I like dancey electronica stuff as well, and it seemed like emo was kind of taking some of that as well, thinking those beats.
Do you play an instrument?
I don't. I do make some noises on a harmonica occasionally, but I wouldn't call it playing.
Did you bring a harp?
No, I didn't.
Okay. No. You get off lucky on that.
But I, listening to Gary Gauker, just when he wails on that harmonica, oh man, that just speaks to me.
He's an artist.
Yeah.
I ask you about your shirt? The images on your shirt look a little familiar to me. I'm a big fan of your art.
So. Thanks. Yeah, I embroidered some artwork on the shirt I'm wearing. It's got three birds on it with some fish.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that art. We've got dessert coming right up.
Oh, right.
So let's not forget about dessert.
Oh, leave some room.
How could I forget?
So... You're the non-furrier art, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But getting back to some of the drawing and the colors that you use to fill in they tend to be bright. At least a lot of the images that I've seen, the color is used in a aggressive way or a splashy way or a kind of it's there.
Bold.
That's the word. And so there's color, but the design is also very interwoven.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have somebody that you emulated, that you studied, that you appreciated, or did this all come straight out of you?
Van Gogh is a huge influence, one of my favorite artists, and a lot of art that I like and the music that we're listening to tonight I describe as the sad happy. And Van Gogh describes the sad happy, and life I describe as sad happy. Mm-hmm. It's all there. Joy and suffering, it's all there. And Van Gogh and the Impressionists, amazing. And then you talk about it being all interconnected, interwoven. I really view that. Also, the more that I get to know this culture, this native culture that I have, the more I see the beliefs and their vision and their expression of how everything is interconnected and their understanding of that. And also like with my hunting, seeing how everything is interconnected. And so like looking at Impressionist work where it all kind of like blurs together, where it's all interconnected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good answer. Good explanation. Let's have dessert.
All right.
So it's this is Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. You're listening to Earbones. Peter Williams, Sitka artist and furrier, is our guest tonight with 10 songs that he would select to have on a deserted island. And we're also going to experience dessert because it is, after all, a deserted island. So you brought a special treat.
I did.
What's it called?
A gudeg. Which is also known as Eskimo ice cream. The translation is, I believe, to mix or like a mixture. And it's, I had it when my father's mother, my grandmother came and visited me when I was in third grade. She made it for our third grade class. And she didn't use animal fat. She used Crisco. And so basically it's Crisco, sugar, and berries. And I think a lot of kids got a little sick.
Maybe a little rich.
Yes. And then the portions that they were, trying to consume was like proportions that you would try to, consume of ice cream.
Right.
Not of vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Oops. And how did you do with that?
So I remember it being pretty intense. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking like, I think I might have taken more than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And your version is not with Crisco.
Right, it's seal fat.
Mm-hmm. So kind of describe the process of what goes into the making of this dessert.
Right. So take about a cup and a half of seal fat, and you kind of render it slowly and mix, and then you add some water to it and kind of cool it down once it starts to kind of melt, and then you fluff it up and add sugar to it, and then kind of freeze it to cool it, and then you kind of like fold in berries and form the shape that you would like.
Wow.
So the shape that you would like, is it an artistic shape, or are we talking, a tube or a ball or a swan?
You know, if you're on a deserted island, you know, perhaps a boat.
All right.
Or a rocket ship.
and then freeze.
And when you say fluff it up, do you mean like with a whisk? Like whip it up or?
Whip it good.
All right.
All right.
Good.
So we'll post the recipe for the dessert on kcaw.org along with the set list here and the recording of this show. And that will be that'll be available forever on kcaw.org. So a good dessert. We've four more songs, I think.
Yep.
And so it's probably high time we get moving into the music to make sure that we have enough time for everything to fit in its entirety.
Well,
so what's next?
The song coming up, I love the name of the group, Noah and the Whale. So what is this song?
Well, again, I don't know if it's a song that I can pronounce. Jocasta is how I would pronounce it by reading it. It's a song that I really like. It's darker. I like dark art, but I think there's also joy in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the shortest. It actually is the shortest on the list.
When the baby's born, oh, let's turn it to the snow so the ice will surely grow over weak and brittle bones. Oh, let's leave it to the wolves so the teeth turn it to food. Oh, its flesh keeps them alive. Oh, as death helps life survive. Oh, the world can be kind in it. Its own way. Oh, well, your future's a machine with the mechanics of a dream, and it's your mind that spins the wheel. Of the tide. Oh, but it has no weight on the movements of my mind. But if you turn your hands to flames, all the light will burn the same, whether you just pass it through or if it's what you're meant to do, and your sense of culpability is from the gods that you perceive. Their constant law that you believe will show you grace. Oh, when you turn to a ghost. Oh, but now the love you found is raising in body ground.
has a nice little high noise in there. Little
indeed.
That was nice. That was another song by Fantagram.
It is. Yep.
We heard from them earlier. That was Mouthful of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice song. And I think next we've got Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah is the name of the band.
Yeah.
All right. And what about this song?
Well, wait, before we get to that song, I did want to ask a little bit about your work as a furrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's some process here. And I think that begins with the tanning. Mm-hmm. And then there's design, and then there's actually manufacture and sewing of what I believe to be would be really difficult task of sewing. So I just want to step through that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Do you tan your own hides, or where are you with that process?
I used to. I managed Sika Tribal Tannery for about a year, and I would tan my hides there. And I'm no longer there and self-employed, so I don't tan anymore. But I really enjoyed hunting, tanning, and sewing, and having that relationship with the animal from when it was alive to kind of the final stages of sewing and making the product and also selling it. Mm-hmm. Being able to be in control of how that animal was treated and mm-hmm. mostly continue my relationship with it is pretty special. That it's all a fair amount of work, and it's all fairly time consuming. Even like hunting and sewing and selling, I find to be pretty taxing and a little much, but I also do enjoy working on various stages and being able to work on various things and being able to kind of diversify my time.
What about the design? Mm-hmm. Are they pretty traditional? Is there much room for creativity? Where does that go with the furrier element? Well,
the medium of sewing I find to be very challenging, and I think it's a very challenging medium and very different from what I used to do. And what I used to do, I would say I would be very chaotic and work very chaotically and fairly messy. And one of the things I enjoyed in working in my art was the quote-unquote mistakes and using those mistakes and kind of this imperfectionism. Perhaps one of the closest thing to being perfect is that there is no such thing as perfect. And it's really that doesn't apply when you're making garments. When you're making garments, things need to be really like on point, very straight lines, very organized, crisp, and clean. And coming from the way that I created art before is very opposite of that. So it took me quite a while, and I'm still working on it, trying to be very, very clean. I blamed a bit of my art on my mother not allowing me to have coloring books when I was a kid because she didn't want me to color inside the lines. And so...
And you never did.
I would sneak a coloring book now and again, go over to a friend's house, and stay up late and color in coloring books inside the lines.
And then the actual sewing. Are we talking about like a hook needle? I mean, the pressure to get a needle through a thick hide and fur.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just do that by hand, or is there a machine that you use?
I do the fur sewing by hand. There is a fur machine, but you need a special machine, and it takes quite a while to learn it. I was studying with some furriers recently on the East Coast, and I was experimenting with the machine, and I look at this furrier she's been sewing with fur for probably about 30 years, and she was sewing garments before then as a child. She's from Bolivia, and I just asked her, like, you know, how long did it take you before you felt comfortable on this machine? Because she's a master on it. And she said, a few years, 2 or 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And so I don't feel too bad about that, but I really enjoy hand sewing. I might, you know, I kind of view that I'm going to have to go to a fur sewing machine, but there's something very cathartic mm-hmm. about hand sewing. And again, the relationship with the animal, really touching it, and
yeah.
that textile sensation with the skin and the fur. It's working
not
with my hands.
It's with the machine, even though you're still doing that. It's just a little bit more removed. Yeah, I can.
It is, and largely because I don't know how to like use the machine yet, but mm-hmm. I just get so frustrated mm-hmm. when I try yeah. to sew a machine, and I wonder too about the aspect of just ancestry. Mm-hmm. I like things that are very traditional, and mm-hmm. it's largely why I do what I do. And
And then running down some of what you've made. You mentioned a vest, a hat. What have you made?
Scarves, mittens, purses, pillows, blankets, headbands, keychains, earrings. I think that might be about it for now of what I've made.
And maybe other things to come that you've thought of or haven't thought of yet.
Perhaps. There's a few things that I want to just kind of focus on and dial in on now. And a bit of this market's pretty new. You know, this industry is pretty new. And I'm going to find out kind of where my market is. Mm-hmm. The weather is really impacting the fur industry. The economy is really impacting the fur industry. I think from what I gather, the American culture is also changed with its fur. There's a lot of fur being worn in the forms of trim. A lot of that has to do with the economic and weather situation. And it doesn't seem to have the same glitz and glam to it that it did before. Mm-hmm. There's not that far long ago, it was viewed in this country that like you really arrived if you had a mink coat. Well, that's the mentality that view of fur isn't quite, you know, there as it was. It's become something pretty accessible to everyone, and I think
more functional, maybe,
and that too. Yeah, a lot of things that you see coming out, like restyling, like when someone inherits their grandmother's coat, bring it into a furrier and get it restyled. There seems to be one of the really popular things now is shearing, which is cutting off the long guard hairs, and so what that does that. It actually makes the fur softer because it's getting rid of the coarser guard hairs, but it's also taking away that really glamorous kind of polished look and sheen and something that's more utilitarian, something that you can wear. It's like we're also changing as a society where you know you wear fur coat out to the grocery store as you can wear it to the opera.
Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next song, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the band
The Witnesses' Dole Surprise.
Yeah, this is a song that I can just kind of listen to over and over again. And if I was on an island, that's what I would be doing.
Oh, well, the rain it never
tune called The Witness's Dull Surprise from Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. And we're just about out of time for the Earbones program and Deserted Island, and we're just going to move into the last tune of the night and thank Peter Williams for being our guest on the Deserted Island. We're going to usually we end up rescuing somebody, so rescue Peter.
You're going to get rescued a little early.
And thank you for rescuing me early.
There's a ship on the horizon.
Hey, ship.
Ahoy there, sailor.
So, we really need to get our intro, outro.
Yeah, we do. Well, we're Raven Radio KCIW Sitka, and thank you so much for listening. Peter, thanks for putting the time and effort into creating a wonderful playlist. This last song, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was actually cruising around with my little brother, who's not so little anymore. He's taller than I am. He's 16, and so he's able to like drive himself around. And he had this this band playing, and I checked it out, and I really like this song.
Band is named Switchfoot, and the tune is Where I Belong. And that was Trevor, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to Trevor. And this is KCIW Sitka. Thanks for listening.